I'd like you to take your Bibles today and begin to find Matthew chapter 1. So grab those Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible today, perhaps you'll find one in the seat pocket that is in front of you. Maybe your Bible is on a device. I will do that. Yes, Bible is on a device, a phone or an iPad. High schoolers, go ahead and leave now. And we didn't want you to hear my message anyway. So, no. We appreciate you staying a little bit longer today, and we love you very, very much. Enjoy your classes. Matthew chapter 1, is somebody there? If you are, say yes. Beautiful. If you'd stand with me this morning, we're going to read the word of the Lord together. I'll be reading out of the NIV this morning. The word of God says this out of the Gospel of Matthew. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Say amen to that. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you and we are very thankful to be in your house this morning. We're grateful that we've been able to greet one another, worship with each other, that we've had the opportunity to give and to receive communion also together. We pray now that as we purpose in our minds to study your word and to learn something from it today, that you would honor that effort. God, as you speak to us today, would you give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us? And as the Spirit speaks, would you allow our mind to comprehend it? And as comprehension comes and understanding comes, will you allow that word, God, to seep into the deepest parts of who we are? And as it goes down deep inside of us, may that word find soil so that it can take root and find life and grow inside of us and produce fruit in our lives and the lives of those around us. God, we thank you for the promises that you give. We thank you for the promise of your word and the power that is in it. And God, would now then you give us the courage to do what you've asked us to do and the courage to be who you've asked us to be. In Jesus' name, if you agree with some of that, can you say amen this morning? Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing with us. In just a moment, we're going to read this verse in its context, meaning we're going to go back to verse 18 and read through this section of Scripture. I've entitled the message today, Emmanuel, God with Us. It's actually a two-part series. We'll start today, and then next Sunday we'll continue part two. We're going to go over three essential elements in here. Today, we're going to cover, as part of Emmanuel, that if we're going to understand God with us, we've got to understand first God for us. So we're going to talk about God for us today. Next week, we're going to talk about God with us. Also next week, we're going to talk about God in us. I hope that that gets you a little bit excited, maybe your brain going just a little bit, and you'll hang with us for the next couple of weeks in this series. Matthew 1, 18 through 25, we'll read this verse in context. The word says this: this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Verse 18. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Ghost. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Many of us know the story. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Come on, people. It is Christmas time. It is Christmas time, and I get that it is 9:45 in the morning. But as I say, it is Christmas time. We've got some lights, we got some stuff, we got some more stuff, because it's Christmas time. If you don't like me, can you please just get excited about Christmas? We're going to talk about Christmas today, and I want you to get with me. I've got a word to share today. I have a word to deliver today, and I don't care if you get excited about how I present it, but I pray that you would get excited about what it is that I'm going to share with us this morning. We're talking about Emmanuel, the promised child from God. Emmanuel, God with us. To me, today is a very special day. Today is Advent Sunday, the first of four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day. Now, in our particular tradition, we don't necessarily follow that Advent calendar, but it is beautiful in its entirety. Advent is celebrated in many, many different ways, and it's very, very old. Some of my liturgical friends out here who have maybe Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, even Catholic backgrounds, you're looking at me and you're nodding your head and saying, I love Advent, I love Advent, I like the candles, I like what it means, I like what it is, and all that kind of stuff. And I have limited understanding of Advent, but what I know is it starts today. And in some traditions, they will each candle has a meaning as they go and light these candles each week. And again, it's my understanding that today you light a candle in remembrance of the prophetic word. And the prophetic word of Isaiah was meant to bring hope. So this candle represents hope. Today, we're going to talk about the hope that is Emmanuel. We're going to talk about the hope that is Jesus. We're going to talk about what that really means to us. In addition to that, we get to celebrate in our tradition Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday and the first Sunday of Advent, I think, are beautifully paired with one another, because we know it doesn't stop with a baby in a manger. We know that it extends to the man Jesus as he fulfilled his mission and he gave his life on a cross, not so that we could just know about Jesus, but we could know Jesus, as Paul would say, and identify with his suffering, identify with his death, identify with his resurrection, and become heirs, sons and daughters through the promised Emmanuel. Hallelujah. It's beautifully paired together. And so we have the advent of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Our reflection comes today out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Very quickly, just understanding Emmanuel. It's only mentioned three times, I believe, in the Bible. Twice in the Old Testament. It's implied once in the Old Testament. And it's used once in Matthew. The word Emmanuel is only used four times in the Bible, if you consider it that way. The Old Testament, it was a prophecy for the time in which Isaiah lived. Isaiah chapter 7 and 8 is when we learn about Isaiah or Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, the word, the meaning, is actually a dual prophetic word. It's a dual prophecy. It would prophesy for the things in Isaiah's day with King Ahaz. Very briefly, the nation of Israel was up against insurmountable odds. They had exhausted every human capacity with which to prevail and to preserve their nation. God gave Isaiah a prophetic word and said that a son would be born. His name would be Emmanuel. And when Emmanuel was born, the restoration of Israel in that time period would begin to happen. So it was a message of strong reinforcement that God was with the nation of Israel, that not only God was with them, but God was for them, that God was on their side, that God would fight for them, that God would bring them out of that time of adversity. And then it's got a dual meaning, right? So we jump forward to Matthew, where the Gospel of Matthew, the disciple, says, he uses the word, that a virgin will conceive a child, she will bear a child, and will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. The verse prior says, you will call him Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. So the New Testament prophetic fulfillment of that is in Jesus Christ, where Jesus would come onto the scene. In a day and an hour in which people were so inundated by religious not goodness, the religious system not well. They were inundated by poverty and stress and turmoil and religious tension and economic tension and political tension. And Jesus would be born into that moment where he would say, I have come not just to save the sins of the people, but I have come to be with them. I have come to be present with them. John chapter 1 verse 14 says it this way, and the word became flesh and made his dwelling among the people.
He made his dwelling among us. Galatians, Paul's words in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5, describe it this way. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights as sons. Somebody say amen. Amen. When the time was right, when the fullness of time was come, Jesus came, sent by God. He was born of the woman. He was born under the law. He was born to fulfill the prophecy, the prophetic word, as Advent calls it, of hope on this first Advent Sunday. He came to fulfill that prophecy. So we have now this idea of God with us and God for us. I want to suggest this morning that to fully understand Emmanuel, God with us, we have to take a step back and understand God for us. I'm going to play on those words because I believe it's very, very important. Do we understand today? Do we know today? Do we have an idea and a concept today that God has always been for us? Always. He is for us today. He will be for us tomorrow. And he has been for us from the beginning of time. He has always been for his people. He has always been for his creation. He has always been in the capacity, or he's always had the capacity to create and to generate space for people to live with a holy God. He has always been for us. Always. And I want us to come to a clear understanding of that this morning. How do I know that God is for us? How can you know that God is for you? Consider this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let's turn there. Let's turn the pages to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. How do we know? In answering the question, how do we know that God is for us? Hebrews 12, 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How do we know that God is for us? When given the option between suffering and no suffering, no beatings, no humiliation, no flogging, no cross, no death, none of that, when given the choice between no suffering and suffering, he chose suffering. He chose to die. He chose to be beaten. He chose to be flogged. He chose to be humiliated. He chose death over life. He chose suffering over not suffering. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 and 18 say, Jesus says of himself, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Listen now, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 18 will say this, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. Why would Jesus do this? I asked you this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to ask you to do it now. Will you please overthink this question with me? In a good way. Why would Jesus, Nate, why would Jesus die for you? Presser? Goodness gracious, why would Jesus die for you? We could go across the room. Pastor, why would Jesus die for you? John, why would Jesus, Pam, why in the world would Jesus die for you? Marty, Jane, why would Jesus die for you? All across the room I could go, but I won't embarrass anybody else. I just picked on my friends. So in that regard, since you're all my friends, why? Would Jesus die for any of us?
I'm going to tell you why. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 gives us a specific phrase in there, and it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, its suffering and its shame." What joy could possibly be worth dying on a cross for? What joy could possibly be worth laying down your life for? What joy possibly could be worth leaving heaven's gates for earth's tragedies? What joy possibly could be worth that cost and that expense? You. You were his joy. Me. I was his joy. And there were other theological things that were set up in the joys that God or that Jesus saw: his glorified body, the redemption of humanity, the restoration of all things that were bad into right. I get all that, but you know what? You know what other joy was there? Maybe even predominantly what was there? The joy that was set before Jesus Christ was knowing that in this moment he would be able to have a personal communicating relationship with every single breathing, walking person on the face of planet Earth. He knew that in that moment, everything would be restored again as it was with Adam and Eve before the fall. He knew that in that moment, there would be an opportunity for Nate and Presser and Pam and Marty and Jane and Eddie and Pastor and anybody who would call on the name of the Lord to be saved and have a relationship with him. Jesus saw that joy when he sat or hung on that cross. He saw that joy when he burst his veins and sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, "I don't want to die. It's not my will, but your will." Why did he do that? For the joy set before him. And joy had a name, and your name was in it. That was the joy that was set before him. That was the reason that he died: eternity with you, saving you, redeeming you, forgiving you, rescuing you, everyday life with you. How do we know this to be true? Because God, before he was ever with us, he was for us. He was for us from the beginning of time, and he proved it when he sent his son to be with us. He is for you. He is on our side. He is in our corner, and he has always had a plan to call us sons, daughters, friends, and heirs with him in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we know that God has always been for us? Because I hear the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen, this is Jesus saying, in the words of God his Father, grabbing us by the face and saying, "Listen to me. God is for you, and he sent me to make sure that you never, ever, ever forget that fact. God is for you." He came not just to die for us, but to be with us. Again, John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Even when the world did not understand, even when the world walked in blindness of their own disobedience and ignorance, God chose to make his dwelling with us, to be present with us, even in our fallen, failing capacities, because he is for us. How in the world do I know that God is for me? How do I know that God is for us? Because he is faithful. That's how I know he is for me. That's how I know he is for you, because he is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." God is faithful.
I have a hobby. It's not really a hobby because I don't do it all the time. There's something that I really enjoy doing, and that something is taking pictures of sunsets. And when I thought hashtags were cool, I would take pictures of sunsets and I would hashtag them when I posted them on social media, and I would just hashtag them chasing sunsets. Me and about 6 billion other people use that same hashtag. But I love it. I love capturing sunsets. Do we have that picture ready upstairs? Do we have that ready? Is anybody up there? No? Okay. Well, you don't get to see the picture of the sunset, but trust me, it's gorgeous. It's one of those where every color just seems to pop and to flame out and to project everything that you... It's one of those sunsets where you just jaw hits the floor and you're like, holy goodness, this is amazing. And I love to do my best to capture that moment because it says something to me. It's more than just a hobby. It's more than just a picture. I am 44 years and 40 days old today. 44 years and 40 days old today. That means that I have lived 16,111 days since I was born on October 23rd, 1974. That actually includes leap years, for those of you who are going to ask. 16,111 days have passed since my birth. There's a lot of things that I still don't know, but this one thing I do. October 23rd, 1974, near the end of that day, there was a sunset. I didn't see it. I didn't have the capacity to see it. I see it now. I didn't have the capacity to see it on that day. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. And every day from that day forward, the sun rose and the sun set. Every single day. Now, I have the capacities to appreciate that fact. And even when the day is gray and gloomy and wet and miserable, the sun still sets in its absolute glorious wonder and splendor. I may not be able to see it, to take in the brilliant shooting rays of orange and red. I may not be able to see the stark contrast of brilliant blues slowly fading into what will be a star-filled night sky. I may not see it, but it's happening somewhere. And just because I didn't see it today doesn't mean that I won't get to see it tomorrow. The sun rises and the sun sets because it is a law. It is a law of nature built into creation by its creator. You know why, among other things, why that is so amazing? Because as Psalm 19 verse 1 affirms, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Not only do the heavens declare and proclaim, the heavens reflect the image and the attributes of their Creator. Not only do the heavens declare and proclaim, the heavens reflect the very image and the very essence and the very attributes of their Creator. The sun is faithful to rise and to set regardless of my current state, mood, experience, or the weather that is surrounding me, because it was created by a faithful God. The sun rises every single day and it sets every single day because it was created to be faithful. And that faithfulness reflects the very nature and attribute of that which created it. God is faithful. And the heavens declare His faithfulness. Read it later. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says that another whole big thing about creation and how it signifies the beauty and the amazing presence that is God across the entire globe. So, to answer my own question, how do I know that God is for me? Because He is faithful, and His faithfulness is expressed in every single area of my life and the earth's very existence. He is faithful. For 1,000 generations, He is faithful. He is faithful, and He is for me. He is faithful. And He is for you. He is not against you. Not only is He Emmanuel, God with you, He is Emmanuel, God for you. The God who fights battles that you never ever see. The God that moves in the spiritual and the miraculous that we never even notice or that we never even are made aware of. The God who is for us in the quiet places. The God who is for us in the damaging places. The God who is for us in the happy places. The God who is for us in the challenging spaces. The God who is for us in every spectrum of our life from birth to death and even after death in eternity. He is God that is for us. And He represented that with Emmanuel, God who is with us. Stand with me this morning. We're going to read as a benediction today and a closing to our message the words out of Romans chapter 8. I could have put a lot of things in this iPad and read a lot of different things, but I figured we'd just read what Paul says to us about God's amazing character, His faithfulness, and the fact that God is for us. Here it goes. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. Paul will answer his rhetorical question and say, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything that is in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God is for us. Hallelujah. God is for you. Next week we'll talk about the beauty of God being with us. And because He is with us, He is in us. And when He is in us, oh my, what a game changer that can be. Somebody shout hallelujah, amen to that. God is for us. Jesus, we love you. We celebrate your life today. On this first Sunday of Advent, we celebrate not only your birth and the hope that is in that, but also your death and your resurrection and the hope that is in that. God, as we prepare our hearts for this Christmas season, not just one day on December 25th, but this Christmas season, may you remind us every single day of this Advent season that you are for us. You are Emmanuel, God that is with us. And you are the God that fills us by the power of His Holy Ghost. Let us walk in the confidence of that. the confidence of that name. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name, we pray today. And we agree and we say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to church today. Thank you for being with us. Hallelujah. Greet somebody on the way out. Love them. Shake their hand. Give them a hug if it's appropriate to do that. Just love them on their way out. You're dismissed today. Have a blessed Sunday. We'll see you next week as we continue this series on Emmanuel.